100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of the pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
Oh, please be seated.
Are there any children with a birthday, or young people, or anyone with a birthday coming up in the next few days or the last few days? Is it Bella? Bella! Anyone else? Hello. How old are you going to be? 9. When's your birthday? On Saturday. Would you like a present? Help yourself.
Get another gun next week.
Maybe, yeah. Have a good rummage. A ball. Ball, should we sing happy birthday? Bella for Saturday. I think the men have been practicing something special to sing for the ladies.
Still could look at me.
Come on, men.
To say that. Particularly on Mothering Sunday, the men thought they'd like to introduce a new song to you. We tend to think of eternity being a long way away, don't we? But it's not. There's an urgency about eternity. Jesus may come today or may come tomorrow. We don't know. And this song is about our walk to eternity.
I long to be there all
give out presents, please? Children, Bella, you going to help? Ava?
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
If you all want the chance to actually sing that song again tonight, praise and worship is included in the songs tonight. So come
you
in
come
and learn
in?
It.
I'm going to give out presents for the ladies. Bev has kindly left lots of things.
Yeah, I'll just play it through, yeah.
Anyone who's upstairs, can you come down and help, if you like? Or we're going to be here a long time. Going to give out presents? Okay, right. If you did, because you're... These are edible, so you, and we don't know what's in them, so people with allergies need to take the other kind. You go in little groups. You're going to go with... You take, right, they're edible, so we don't know about allergies. Okay. Take some. You're going to go with people. You're going to take the box. You're going to take some. Go give them to all the ladies. Take some out and then keep taking out the boxes. There are a few left, so we'll put them on the side.
Excuse me.
Ian, you're not a lady.
I'm quite happy Karina to put a dress on if I'm going to get a chocolate.
Karina's going to pray for all the mums, and then we're going to have a couple of songs.
I did Dear God, thank you for all the mothers here today. Thank you that today is Mother's Day and we have an opportunity to celebrate all the mothers here who work so hard to make sure their children have a good life. And we know that you have blessed each mother in this room, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you used Mary as a mother to bring your son Jesus into this world. And thank you for showing us how important mothers are through that miracle. And I pray that you continue to bless and strengthen all the mothers here, because we know that motherhood is not an easy process at all. But because of you, Lord, we can rely on you to help the mothers in this room to make that process easier. I pray that you fill all the mothers in this room, Lord, with your spirit and your wisdom, and you help them to make the right decisions, and you help them in moments that can seem so difficult, Lord. And I pray that for all the mothers that couldn't be here today, Lord, that those of us here today, we pray for them, and we pray that you continue to strengthen them. I pray that your spirit will be with them and will stay with them. And I pray that you make motherhood an enjoyable and fruitful process for them, because, again, we know it's not easy. And thank you, God, that everyone in this room was knitted perfectly in our mother's womb. And thank you for showing us, again, how important mothers are through the process of birth. And I pray that, Lord, you let all the mothers in this room know how special they are and how gifted they are and how unique they are. And I pray also for the youth in this room, Lord, and all the children in this room, that we make motherhood an easy process as well for our mothers, and help us to not stress our mothers, but help us to bless them and be kind to them, especially today that is Mother's Day. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Karina. We're going to sing Worthy Is Your Name and O God of Burning Cleansing Fire, and then it'll be a time of communion.
Freedom. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit in this place. We need it, we need it. Does anyone need the fire of the Holy Spirit? We need the fire of the Holy Spirit here today. And as we come now to the table of sacrifice, the table of unconditional love, I want us to be reminded this morning that although we remember the death of Jesus through this sacred meal, we remember his death, but be encouraged that death was not the final chapter of the story. This is not a funeral. We're not here to just pay homage to a dead man. Yes, he died, but 3 days later, he rose again. Oh, you're not excited about that. If Jesus remained dead, then as Paul says, our whole faith, our point of preaching would be useless. It would be in vain. But you and I can be here today and have hope in our hearts, and we can pray for the fire to come in our lives. Died, yes, he was buried, but he rose again with all power in his hands. So as we come to partake and remember his death, let's also be mindful of the resurrection. Death is not the final chapter, but his death leads to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Deacons, please join me as we prepare to serve. And mindful today is Mother's Day, and we want to wish all of the mothers here today, all the women in the house, whether you're a biological mother or not, a happy, happy Mother's Day. Let's put our hands together for all the ladies in the house. Amen. We thank God for you. And you know, one of the second sayings of Jesus on the cross, Jesus looked down from the cross and he saw his beloved disciple, John, and he also saw his mother, Mary. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son. Take John to be your son. And John, son, I want you to take Mary as your mother." Because even Jesus, on the cross, he recognized the significance and the love between a mother and her child. And whilst he was dying on the cross in pain and agony, he still could look down and say, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Beautiful words from Jesus on the cross. We're going to ask one of our deacons to come and pray God's blessing on the bread and the wine.
Father, we give you thanks this morning that as we come into this place, we can once again remember the fact that Jesus is alive. The fact
Amen.
That he died to pay the penalty of our sin, to take away all our wrongdoings. And we thank you that the word says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just.
Yes.
And will forgive us all our sin. So we come this morning and we repent of those things that we've done or thought or said wrong. And Lord, as we take part in this short service this morning, this remembrance time, we remember that you said that we should each examine ourselves before we eat and drink. So, Father, as we take this cup this morning, as we eat this bread, help us to do just that. Help us to know that our sins are forgiven and that we have a future in heaven, in days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
This wonderful meal is freely available to all those who trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And if you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, we would lovingly encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by. Not because we're better than you, but simply because this meal, it has significance if we know the meaning behind it. That's the only difference. So if you're not yet a believer in Jesus, we would lovingly encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around the table with his disciples, he took bread from the table and after giving thanks, he said to his friends, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. This do in remembrance of me." Amen. Church, as you are now served, what represents the body of Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. And upstairs. Tell him to start playing. In like manner, he then took the cup and he said these words, "This cup will now be the new covenant that will be sealed in my blood. As often as you drink of it, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of the bread and we drink from the cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's until his wonderful to us. That one day Jesus will make his return." As you are now presents the shed blood of Jesus Christ, please do retain your cups, church, and then we will partake together as a sign of our Christian unity through the blood of Jesus. For you. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible tells us that there can be no forgiveness for our sins. As we drink now, let's be thankful in our hearts that we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's drink together. Amen. How great is our God. Sing with me,
how great
is our God.
Is our God.
And all will see.
All will see how great.
How great is our God. How great
is our God.
Sing with me. Sing together, church. He's the name above all names. You're the name
above all names.
Worthy to be praised.
You are worthy of all praise.
And my heart will sing.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
Just one more time. He's the name that's above every name. Your
name above all names.
And he's worthy.
You are worthy of all praise.
And my heart will sing.
And my heart will sing. How great is our God.
Now say it softly. How great.
How great. Is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God.
Amen. To God be the glory. We're going to release our children and young people to their groups. Have a wonderful time. Learning more about the Lord. God bless you and all the teachers and assistants. Have a wonderful time in your groups.
Going to have a time of prayer. Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together today. We thank you for all the children in the church and for the young people and for all the leaders and adults that take their work week and do their teaching week after week. We thank you for bringing us together on this lovely day, and we thank you for all the mums in the church. Also pray for people that are missing their mums for whatever reason. Amen.
Didn't our men do a wonderful job with that song? We thank God for the men. Thank you so much for wonderful selection from the men. I want to call your attention to the book of Ruth this morning. Ruth chapter 1. And on this Mother's Day, as we celebrate the women here this morning, but also I believe God has a word for us all, if you're male or female. But there's an interesting passage that I want to call your attention to in Ruth chapter 1. And I'm going to commence reading from verse number 6. And this is, of course, the story, the beautiful story of Naomi and Ruth. And oftentimes when we hear the story of Naomi and Ruth, we perhaps focus on the wonderful part of the story where Ruth gets married to Boaz. How many of you heard that story before? But today I'm not going to put the magnifying glass on the wonderful love connection between Ruth and Boaz, but I do want to put the magnifying glass on Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. And there's something unique and special about Naomi that I think we can all learn about her example as a woman of faith. So Ruth chapter 1, and from verse number 6, it reads like this. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Of course, Naomi was originally from Judah in Bethlehem, but she had traveled to Moab because of a severe famine that was in the land of Judah. And at the time, along with her husband and her two sons, they traveled from Judah, their hometown, to Moab so that they could have a better life. But unfortunately, a tragedy took place, and Naomi lost her husband and also her two sons. So when Naomi here from verse 6, she learns that things back home are a bit better. They've improved. The famine has ceased. She decides, let's go back home. Let's go back to Judah. And it says in verse 8 that Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you. She says, you know what? I'm going to go back home, but you're my daughters-in-law. You're not really a native of Judah. You're from Moab. Why do you want to come with me? Stay in your homeland. You don't need to come with me. You've been so kind to me. You've been so gracious to me. You don't have to look after me anymore. Go back. Go and find yourself some new husbands. It's okay. But look what happens. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. In verse 9, may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye. They wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you and to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughter." She insists, "Why would you want to come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. And even if there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait around until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried to them? No, my daughters, it is bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah, one of the daughters-in-law, she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And look what Naomi had to say. "Your sister-in-law, Orpah, she's gone back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But verse 16, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn my back on you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.'" She goes on to say, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." I want to pause there. I want to go back to our key verse. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home. I want to speak briefly from this thought this morning. What happens when the men are nowhere to be found? Would you say that with me? What happens when the men are nowhere to be found? Church, as I get older, one of the things... you're laughing, but it's true. One of the things that I'm truly grateful for is the blessing of having now lived for the past 36 years, of having over the past 36 years both my mum and my dad present in my life. The older I get, the more I appreciate that. It's something that I should never take for granted, because growing up in Southeast London, in an urban community church, I realized that from an early age, from my school days, that having both parents in the home and in your life is not always the norm for every child. In fact, the data confirms this. According to the Office for National Statistics, the statistics are quite alarming and stark. Even amongst black people in the UK, black people in the UK has the highest rates of lone parent households amongst all ethnic groups in the UK. In fact, 50% of black British households, families, are led by a lone parent in the home. And amongst those statistics, I found that amongst black people in particular, black Caribbean people in this country, that's my heritage, 63% of Caribbean families in the UK are led by a single parent. And here's the interesting part, church. 90% of all lone parent families adults in this country, 90% are led by women. It's quiet. And as a result of these alarming statistics, church, the first question that I want to raise this morning and highlight in conjunction with the story of Naomi is simply put, men, where are you? Where are the men? Now, don't get me wrong. Just like in the story of Naomi here in Ruth chapter 1, sometimes women are left alone to raise their families, their children, not because a man has failed to live up to the task of being a leader in the home, but simply because of a tragedy. That was the case for Naomi. And even today, some households face family tragedies, the unexpected loss of a loved one. I'm not talking about those tragic cases this morning. But unfortunately, in many cases around this country where fathers are absent in the home, it's not because of an untimely death of a loved one, but oftentimes it's due to the lack of leadership and the lack of responsibility, and here it is, the lack of care by men. And church, we see this not just in homes across this country, but even if we go back to the very beginning of creation, we see this played out in Genesis. Because right from the beginning, God had to ask the question in the creation account, Adam, man, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Now, this is an interesting question because for God to ask the question to Adam, Adam, where are you? Please understand, this was not because God didn't know where he was. God has the wonderful privilege of being omnipresent. We don't have that luxury. God is everywhere at the same time. So God was not asking the question to Adam, Adam, where are you? Because he didn't know where he was, or because God couldn't locate him. He knew where he was. He was omnipresent. But the question was not for identification purposes, but I believe the question, church, was geared towards Adam's role and his responsibility as a man. Adam, where are you? Why? Because Eve was tempted by the serpent. Eve was enticed by the serpent. But here it is, and we often overlook this, Adam, the man, was present. Adam was not back at home playing PlayStation. Adam was present with Eve, his wife, when the serpent tempted Eve. Adam was there. So I believe when God was asking the question, Adam, where are you? It was not for identification purposes. It was not to find out his location. He knew where he was. But I believe it was a question for his responsibility. Where were you when the serpent tempted your wife? Despite being present, church, Adam did not speak. Despite being present when the serpent tempted his wife, Adam did not protect his wife. And here it is, Adam failed to show leadership. He was present, but he was passive. And many homes, I believe today, and even around our country, there's a struggle because, not just because men are absent, but sometimes men can be present, but still not be effective in the home. When men refuse to protect, there can be a void of leadership. When men refuse to speak, there can be a void of leadership and responsibility. And when men refuse to lead, there sometimes can be an absence of leadership and responsibility. God called out to him and said, where are you? And I want to ask the question today to our men in the house. Where are the men who will pray? Where are the men who will lead with love and with grace? Where are the men who will stand in the gap, not just in the good times, but will stand up and be counted even in times of difficulty and trouble? Yes, men, it's one thing to enjoy the activity of making a child. But do we have the same responsibility when it comes to raising a child? But on this Mother's Day, church, I want to give God thanks for the women who are here today and for the women around this country and around the world who, despite at times, as the statistics prove, a lack of male input and a lack of male leadership, I thank God that there are still some strong, courageous women, just like Naomi, who will stand in the gap. Some women who will work hard and work tirelessly to raise their children in the right way. I want to thank God this morning, hallelujah, for the mothers who have had to step in the gap and not just be mum, but also be dad. I want to thank God this morning for the mothers who have had the courage and the leadership to say, even if the man won't step up, I am going to make sure that my child has the best start in life. I believe on this Mother's Day, we ought to be thankful for some strong, courageous, and faithful women who, despite at times the lack of male influence, they have not cowered from their responsibility, but they have stood in the gap to be a positive role model even to their children. Hallelujah. Amen. So, church, if there is a void of male influence, if there is a void of male leadership, and yes, even a void of male responsibility, just like at the scene of our text this morning, albeit it was not because Naomi's husband was wayward, it was not because her sons were wayward, but unfortunately they died tragically. And they were no longer around to provide leadership and care to their families. But I believe for women here this morning, or women around this community, who are wondering, how can I continue to provide leadership to my home if there's no man present? Naomi, is there something that you can leave with me today on this Mother's Day? Is there something that we can learn from your example, Naomi, that can help us as women, that can help us even as men, that we can learn from her example of how we can take responsibility in the home? And Naomi, I believe, teaches us, church, for both women and men, that number one, here it is, never underestimate the strength of a praying woman. Would you say that with me, church? Never underestimate the strength of a praying woman. You know, one of the things that we struggle with as men, myself included, is what I would like to call male pride and ego. If we're honest men, myself included, I'm not trying to dish the dirt here, this is for me too, we struggle with male pride and ego. Let me say, for example, if we were to plan a church to Birmingham, I guarantee it will be the men in the house that would want to drive. I guarantee it. This is something that I even struggle with as a man. Sometimes Anna will say, do you want me to drive? Drive what? Drive where? And sometimes it's even cultural. Even, I remember some years ago, I made a statement here in the church and I said, can I get some of the men to help me after the service? We want to lift the lids up from the baptistry. And someone came to me after the service and said, but what about the women? And it was not because I was trying to be sexist or anything like that, but it's just sometimes cultural, you know, we as men, we want to take responsibility for the heavy lifting and so forth. It wasn't that I was demeaning the women. I wasn't doing that. But sometimes from a cultural perspective, as men, we think, even subconsciously, that if we don't do it, it won't get done. Now, don't get me wrong now. I'm a young man, but I believe in good old-fashioned chivalry.
I do believe in that. And I know it's kind of outdated today.
Yeah, you know, people can have different views, but I do believe still in that, you know, loving care that a man should, if he's able to open the door for a woman. I believe in that. I believe that, you know, if you see a woman struggling with the shopping bags, that a man ought to help to carry the bag. I believe in that. I believe that if it's dark outside, to make sure that a woman can get to her car safe. I believe in that. There's nothing wrong in good old-fashioned chivalry. But please understand, men, chivalry does not mean that women cannot open the doors for themselves. And sometimes we think as men that if we don't lead, if we don't do it, if we are not there to be accounted for, then nothing will get done. But we know, even from a church perspective, that I can say this with assurance, the majority of things that gets done in this church, a woman has either played a part in it or has taken the major load of making it happen. That's the truth for our context here in this church. And we see this played out here in the story of Naomi. After losing her husband and her sons, remember now, she traveled from Judah to Moab, a foreign territory that was hostile to the people of Judah, under the leadership, here it is, of her husband. But now her husband, 10 years later, he was no longer around. So now, when Naomi heard that things back home had improved, the famine had ceased, she did not have a man to take responsibility and say, family, we're going back home. But Naomi, a woman, in a place that was full of patriarchy, where men were viewed in a higher trajectory than women, but yet still Naomi had the courage to say, I'm going to make the decision. We are going back to Bethlehem. This don't mean anything to you, but this blessed me when I read this. Because when you study the journey from Moab to Bethlehem of Judah, when you do some research about that journey, it was not an easy journey. It took about 10 days on foot to get from Moab back to Judah. It was a treacherous journey. It was a mountainous journey. It was not an even keel road. And think about it. With no man in sight, Naomi led the way back home to Judah. No man to guide. No man to offer protection. No man to help with the satnav. But it was a woman, Naomi and Ruth, who traveled from Moab back to Judah on a 10-day journey without the aid and assistance of a man. No man to map the journey. No man to get an old-fashioned A to Z. No man to help in the mountainous hills of Judea. No man to take them by the hand and to guide them. No man to offer any support and chivalry. No man, can you imagine, church, to offer a coat when it got cold on the journey. And not even a man to fend off any prey in the mountains that would seek to do them any harm. Whatever you do, church, please never underestimate the courage and the strength of a praying woman. Not only did Naomi have the courage to lead Ruth, but I also love the fact that Naomi was willing to go back by herself. She said to her daughters-in-law, you guys stay in Moab. I'll make the journey by myself. Oh. There was an old song in the world when I was younger that it says, the shoes on my feet, I bought it. The clothes that I'm wearing, I bought it. I depend on me if I want it. The house I live in, I bought it. Why? Because I depend on me. I'm here to encourage you, and even for us men, we have to be careful in limiting our women. We've got to take the brakes off our women. Our women are able to do the job and do whatever God has called him to do with class, with dignity, with grace, just as good, if not better, than what we can do as men. I believe it. Naomi said, we're going back home. We don't have a man to lead us. We don't have a man to guide us. We don't have an Uber to come and pick us up. We're going back home. And by faith in her God, as a Hebrew woman, Naomi, I believe, it doesn't say it, but I can only imagine her going back on that treacherous journey, praying to her God, walking with Ruth. Ruth, don't give up now. We're closer than when we was before. Don't give up now, Ruth. We're soon back home in Bethlehem. Don't give up now, Ruth. We're nearly there. I know the journey's hard. I know the journey's long. But don't give up, Ruth. We're on our way back home. We don't have a man in sight. But by faith in God, I believe he will lead us back home safely in his presence. Amen. So, never underestimate the power of a praying woman. But finally, I also want to lift this point from Naomi's story. We can learn a lot from the mother-in-law, Naomi. One point that I want to highlight from the mother-in-law, Naomi, I love the fact that Ruth and Orpah, they wanted to be around their mother-in-law. You missed it. Let's face it. Some mothers-in-law... It is often said that Adam and Eve were the happiest couple in the world, because neither of them had a mother-in-law in their life. Yet for Naomi, both Ruth and Orpah, they enjoyed being around their mother-in-law so much that in the case of Ruth, she did not want to leave her side. She said, where you go, I'm going too. Where you stay, wherever you make your home, that's where I want to be too. Your people, although I'm from Moab and you're from Bethlehem, your people will be my people. And here's the key point. Your God will be my God. Ruth was from Moab, and Moab, when you study the region of Moab, they practiced the worship of false gods. But the mother-in-law had such an impact in her daughter-in-law's life that she was willing to forsake false idol worship and turn to the one true God of the Bible. Why? Because of the example of the mother-in-law. Sometimes as men, we want to lead everything. But here's the point. If you don't have anyone following you, that's not leadership. If we're not approachable and somewhat likable, then we're just taking a walk in the park. But what I love about Naomi, she didn't have a position of a priest, she didn't have a position as a prophet or a king or a queen, but what I love about her is she showed immense leadership. Because her daughters-in-law were so inspired by her example that they said, you know what, we want to stay around you. There's something about your life. There's something about your example. There's something about your courage that we are inspired by your faith, by your testimony, that where you go, we also want to go likewise. And just like Naomi and Ruth, we are grateful this morning for the many wonderful women in our church and community who love God and lead with grace in their homes and their families, and yes, within the church, that their faith and resilience and devotion to God continues to inspire not just other women, but also the men. I am so inspired by the faith and courage of women in our church that it gives me so much hope as I raise a daughter to know that there's some wonderful praying women and committed women in our community that are showing a good example for a young girl to come up and follow. I'm grateful for the wonderful examples in our community of women just like Naomi who are able to lead well and to give a good example for those to follow. So in closing this morning, what happens when the men are nowhere to be found? Well, Naomi teaches us that if the men are absent for whatever reason, she teaches us, here it is, that a praying woman can still lead. A praying woman can still parent well. A praying woman can still offer direction. Even if it's a difficult 10-day journey from Moab back to Judah, a woman can still get there safely. And Naomi also teaches us, church, that a strong woman is not weak because she asks for help. Oh. Because when you read the rest of the story, through Naomi's family connection, another man was able to come on the scene. His name was Boaz. And Ruth was now able to be married to Boaz, who became her kinsman redeemer, that brought relief and security, not just to Ruth, but also to Naomi. That through the connection of Boaz, Ruth, through their lineage, Jesse was born. David, king of Israel, was born. And you know who else came through that lineage? Jesus Christ came through that very lineage of Boaz and Ruth. Thank God for the women who, even at times when there's a lack of male example, will stand in the gap, will lead and be counted, and will be a good example for others to follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that we, just like Naomi, would have the courage, even when life is difficult and challenging, to continue to live our lives with faith, with courage, with responsibility. Lord, would you forgive us, even as men, at times, Lord, when we have not owned up to our responsibilities. We thank you for the wonderful men in this house who do such a wonderful job in leading their homes and families. But we do pray for the men, Lord, in our community. We pray for the men all across our country, all across the world, that men will not be absent, that God will not have to say like Adam, "Where are you? Where are you?" But that we will stand up and be counted, to lead in our homes, to lead in our families, and to lead our children. But Lord, we thank you for the women. We thank you that even at times, as the statistics prove, that where men are absent in the home, we thank you that there's some wonderful, courageous women who will stand in the gap. And despite sometimes where there's no man present, we thank you that women are doing a wonderful job on their own to raise their children and to bring them up in the way of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you so much. And we pray that you will pour out your wisdom and strength and your understanding to every parent, whether there's two parents at home or whether there's one, that you will strengthen each and every one, that we, just like Naomi, would be a positive role model to those whom we are leading. Lord, we pray as a church family, finally, that, Father, we would work together, both men and women, that we would recognize that we're all called by you to serve you. And yes, Lord, we do have different roles and responsibilities, but we thank you that we are one in Christ Jesus, that there's neither male nor female, Jew or Greek, but we are one in Christ Jesus. May we continue to work together with Christian unity and with love, all for the purposes of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back. And I want to offer an opportunity this morning. Boaz became the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and for Naomi. And Jesus Christ is our ultimate kinsman redeemer. He's the one who brings salvation to the world. He's the one who takes away the sins of the world. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself, today would be a wonderful opportunity on this Mother's Day to get to know Jesus for yourself. If you don't know him for yourself and you've been touched by this service today, or you've been pricked in your heart that you want to get to know him, I would love you right now to raise your hand in faith. Say, Nathan, I want to get to know Jesus for myself. If there's anyone here today that you felt the love of God in your heart and you want to know Jesus for yourself, be bold and courageous, just like Naomi now, to raise your hand and say, I want to know Jesus for myself. Is there anyone here today that wants to know Jesus for themselves? Would there be one? Would there be one? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. What's your name? Clara. Sarah. Ah, what a beautiful decision, Sarah. Can we pray for you, Sarah? It's the best decision that you could ever make, is to allow the Lord Jesus to come into your life. Amen. Let's pray for Sarah, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Sarah. We thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you have opened her heart, that she wants to receive you as her Savior and as her Lord. Thank you that your word tells us that whoever, male or female, boy or girl, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And I pray now that in the depths of her heart, as she calls upon your name, we thank you that salvation has come to her heart today. We thank you that through the blood of the Lord Jesus, she is forgiven, she is restored, and she is healed. And we thank you now that you will walk with her, you will journey with her for the rest of her earthly life and onwards into eternity. Why? Because Jesus has come into her life. So we commit her to you now. This is the start of a brand new journey. And we thank you that for those who are in Christ Jesus, the old things, the former things, they have all passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And we pray now, Sarah, that you will walk in the newness of life, to get to know Jesus more and more, to study his word, and that the Holy Spirit will lead you from this day forward. We commit her to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sarah. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And if anyone else wants prayer after the service, please meet us in the prayer corner. There'll be some prayer partners that will be there ready to serve you after the service. We're going to close out with our final song, and then we'll have our benediction.
I'm going to close with There Is a Day. And just saying, if any ladies are free next Saturday, it is our afternoon tea. We'll show you how good ladies can do things in this church. Everyone's welcome. 2 p.m. here.
never depart from your presence until we all meet again. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us one day faultless before the glory of his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, be majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all God's children, let us say, amen. 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 God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees. Bless you.
I've got to go home and face Julie now. After that sermon. Yeah, thank you very much, Nathan. Should we do one? Yeah, what?
Yeah, that's nice and easy.
You're welcome.